Yes. I'm still in the Bible. Yes. I said, His will is not my will. Right? Because I got a carnal nature. I got two dogs fighting on the inside of me, and one's wanting to rule. Amen. But I will keep on feeding that good dog so that maybe at some point of my life I can fulfill the will of God, the purpose of God, in the most complete and magnificent way that God saw the time. With His Spirit.
Oh, that is so true.
I don't know if you call this teaching or not.
Good.
I think I done went from preaching. Maybe it's a little bit of both. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We got to be controlled by His Spirit. Knowledge is not merely to be accumulated, Paul was saying. Knowledge is not to just get more of it so you can be smarter than the next person. But the knowledge that God is giving you is to give us the direction for living.
Oh,
right?
Yes. I'm not just learning to...
Oh, God have mercy.
If we can just get a hold of this here this morning and understand what you're hearing preached, isn't just for your accumulated knowledge to say, well, look what I know. No, it's direction for living. It's direction for living a victorious life. It's direction for living a godly, pure, wholesome life before God. Not to be applauded in front of somebody else. That's not the way I'm living. I'm living to please Him, not you. So Paul wanted the Colossian church to be wise, but he wanted them to use their knowledge. The knowledge of God was not for a select few. That's what Gnosticism is, that you had to have this knowledge that was above and superior above anybody else in order to be saved. But Paul was refuting that right here, saying, no, you don't understand this knowledge, this wisdom from God is for everyone. God wants us to learn more about Him. He wants that knowledge to be put into practice in helping others. That's why He became that supreme example for us to live by.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Again, we must be filled with the Spirit. Now I'm going to give you a little example here so y'all can understand what I'm talking about. This is you. And while you are empty, this is you. Amen. And this is the Spirit of God. All right? This is the Spirit of God. And these are individuals that are all around you. These are individuals that are all around you. You see, you can get, every one of us can get a little bit of the Spirit of God. Amen. Whoa. And we could, I didn't think it was going to do that. I didn't mean to move that cup over. We can get full of the Spirit of God and not necessarily affect anyone else around us. I could leave that water here for a couple of days, even weeks, and before too long, that water is going to eventually evaporate and be gone. Therefore, we need a continual outpouring of God's Spirit to where not only now am I affecting the inside of me, but I'm starting to affect the outside of me. And the more the Spirit of God, the more I begin to affect everybody around me. We begin to soak up everything. I want more. I want more of the Spirit. More today, more tomorrow, and more next week, and more next month. Why? Because I want to affect everything around me. We must be filled with God's Spirit in order to do His will.
Right.
Let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, from there, I want to digress just a moment and go into, in the scripture here, and take a journey on what Paul prayed. What did Paul pray? His prayer teaches us how to pray for others. Now, some of us, I understand. We read the book of Colossians, and we read it, and you're like, whoa, man, I didn't know there was that much in those 5 verses. I didn't know there was that much in those 9 verses. Whoa! It's because sometimes we just read to be reading.
Yes.
Man, and that's not a bad thing. You need to read.
Right.
You need to read your Bible, but you also need to study your Bible.
Yes.
Study your Bible.
Yes.
Those that were in Thessalonica were no more noble than they. The Bereans were more noble than they in Thessalonica. I think that's how it went. See, I need to go back and get that fresh in my mind. Why were they more noble? They were more noble because they sought the scripture daily to see whether it was so. They went back in their Bible. They listened to the preaching. And they went back and they began to look at it. They began to look in the Word. They began to study the Word. And it wasn't just a falling on deaf ears, but it became an action in their life. It became a very part of who they were. I'm afraid that even too many of us apostolic Pentecostals have become so used to what we hear and not have any action to back up what we're hearing. Right. It's falling upon deaf ears today.
Right. Come on.
Our belief is not becoming our behavior. What we're hearing is not becoming an actual action in our life.
That's right.
Why? Because we're only allowing it to hear. We're only hearing it when we come to church on Sunday morning, and on Sunday night, and on Wednesday. And it has no effect on us on Monday. It has no effect on us on Tuesday. It has no effect on us throughout the week. We become hearers of the word only and not doers. God forgive us. God help us. I don't want to be a hearer only, but I want this word to have an effect on my life. That changes everything. That changes me. That changes everybody around me. That affects everything. We need more of the Spirit. We need a little bit more. Oh yeah, I got full there today. But I'm going to take on a little bit more. He said, Pastor, what are you doing? Are you crazy? No, I'm not crazy, because this thing's got to get out of our community and start going into all the world. It has to go way down under.
Yeah.
Come on, some of us are just satisfied with just that little bit, but let's start affecting everything. For a people that he's never even met. And how does he pray? Number one, he said, God, I'm asking you to give them an understanding. I give them wisdom and understanding of what you want. Number one. And this is how we ought to pray for one another. This is how we ought to pray for those that don't know. Amen. God, give them understanding of what you desire, what you want. Number two, help them to gain spiritual wisdom. Number three, and this is all substantial. We're going to go down through it here in just a minute. Number three, give them the ability to honor you and to please you. Number four, give them the ability to produce every kind of good fruit. Number five, give them the ability to learn to know you in a more intimate and a better way than ever before. Oh God, I want to know you better. For a church that he's never seen. He's praying for a people that he's never met. God, they got a little bit of you, but give them more. Let them know you in a more intimate, real way. Let them know you more than they've ever known you before. Since that they might be strengthened with God's glorious power. Oh, I need the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm not all that I know that I could be. Oh, but God, fill me up till I'm so full and strengthened by the power of your Spirit. Number seven, give us great endurance and patience. Number eight, with this endurance and patience, let it be full of joy. And number nine, help them, God, to be thankful always. These are basic needs for every apostolic, one God, Holy Ghost filled individual. We need these items of prayer. Verse number 10. So let's move and let's establish this. That ye may walk worthy, he said. That ye may walk worthy of the Lord. Unto the pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Increasing in knowledge. There's no separation, my friend, today between learning the Word of God and living the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. There's no separation between learning the Word of God and living the Word of God. There's too many so-called Christians that know the Word but don't live the Word. God, I don't want to be a hypocrite. God, the best place for a hypocrite to be is in the house of God, so you can get rid of your hypocrisy. I don't want to just learn it. I want to live it. I want to eat it, bring it, drink it, walk it, talk it, everything. Paul begins to list five different benefits God gives to us as believers through Christ Jesus. Number one, he enables us to share his inheritance. It's because of the glory of his power filling us with the Holy Ghost that I want to share. I preached to us the other night about saying, hey, if this is the greatest thing, if this is the greatest investment, then why aren't we telling it like it's the greatest investment? But we'll talk about Kirby, and we'll talk about Juice Plus, and we'll talk about all these other supplements and vitamins and blah, 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 blah. But we ain't spreading the gospel like we believe in some other products. Right. And let me say that God made. You can preach essential oils and say, but this is the natural thing. This is the way God intended it to be, yeah? Well, what about getting the Holy Ghost? That's the way God intended it to be. Oh, fine, all the oils. But if you preach about essential oils, more than you preach about the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's something wrong. And you want to see, but God did it naturally. And you want to talk about holisticness and doing everything. Hey, I'm going to tell you, if you don't talk about the power of the Holy Ghost more than you talk about holistic things, then you messed up. You got it all wrong. And I don't think some of that stuff is right and good, blah, blah, blah. Right, right. But if I don't have the same drive, the same passion for these products and whatever else, as I do for the Holy Ghost, for God's Spirit to fill every man. Oh, the Spirit of God enables us to share in His inheritance. The second thing is that He rescues us from Satan's kingdom of darkness and fear and doubt. And He makes us a child of the light. The third thing, He has brought us out into an eternal kingdom. The fourth thing, He's purchased our freedom from sin and judgment by His blood. And the fifth thing is that He has forgiven us from all our sins.
Yes.
So when we go in, and let's travel a little bit further here. Verse number 11 said, strengthened with all might. So if we read from the last one, it said, in every good, fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Remember, this is what Paul's praying. Paul's praying for those people that he's never seen, that they would excel in these things. They would be strengthened. They would be full of His glorious power. Patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness. You got it? Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. There's the inheritance deal. He's not only talking about how he's praying, but he's talking about all the benefits of this. Hey, I'm telling you, you talk about a benefit package. When you come on to the kingdom of God, you've got a benefit package that is literally out of this world. There ain't an insurance policy. No, have them. I don't care. It don't matter to me. Have a good retirement. Have all that stuff. It don't matter to me. But if you put your retirement before you put Jesus Christ, shame on you. That means that Jesus Christ is just predominant. He's not preeminent. Just as well as some of us go to the pill bottle to grab the pills to make us feel better, instead of first going to Jesus and giving Him the ultimate opportunity to say, be healed. Because we've been programmed so much by our society. I got a headache, go grab the pill bottle. But if we didn't have the pill bottle, some of us would probably start saying, oh God, I got a headache and I need relief right now in the name of Jesus. Ain't nobody to lay hands on me, so I will lay hands on myself. I'm talking about Him being preeminent in your life. Lord, give me strength right now. I need a little boost of energy. Verse number 13 said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That word translated describes moving from one country to another. Hey, somebody, I'm telling you today that Jesus Christ is interested in moving you from the country of Satan's fear and doubt into God's kingdom of faith and restoration and forgiveness and healing. He wants to take you out of the country of fear and doubt and guilt and shame. That's the kingdom of darkness, and bring you in and translate you into a place of forgiveness and mercy, glory, power, and strength. And I'm not preaching to the sinners. I'm preaching to us. I'm preaching to the saints. Because there's still some of us living in a kingdom of darkness. Why? Because we're not full. We're still living in fear. We're still living in doubt. We're still living in these places of bondage. Instead of being full of the Spirit, embracing the power of forgiveness, embracing the power of God's mercy and grace. Woo! Verse 14 said, "In whom we have redemption through through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Redemption refers to the payment of a ransom to release a prisoner. Thank God that He paid the price. I was bound by sin, but He paid the payment.
Yes, He did.
Now I want you to understand something.
Yes, He did.
Jesus didn't pay Satan. But He met the demands of His own law.
Right.
Because He didn't owe Satan nothing.
Right.
And sometimes that's what we think. We think that Jesus went down and He doled out some cash to pay that ransom to the devil. No, He only paid the price of the demands of His own law. Because Satan ain't got nothing over God. Satan ain't got nothing over God. I said Satan ain't got nothing over God. Set up, and I'm going to do it just the way my law said it, and I'm going to pay the price that my law said, not because the devil has anything to do with it.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Woo! Hallelujah, that was awesome.
Praise the Lord. Praise
the
Lord.
Yes. Lord have
mercy. Praise
the Lord. Forgiveness means to cancel a debt. A debt I could not pay. A debt that I owed, but it was too big for me. Satan can't find a record of my sin.
Yep.
And He canceled the debt. He canceled the debt and it's gone. He can't ever come back and say, "But you lied."
I did? Really? Who said so? Prove it.
Come on, somebody. That's what we're talking about, the power of forgiveness. You can look the accuser right there and say, "Oh, really? Did I prove it? Show me where. Show me the record. You can't find it because it's under the blood." It's under the blood. It's under the blood. It's under the blood. It's under the blood. It's under the blood.
Hallelujah, my God.
Verse 15. Can you stand a little bit more?
Yeah.
A little bit more. I know I'm kind of the essence, and some of y'all are getting a little antsy. Let me just finish this, will you, please? Verse 15 said, it talks about the image. Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Ooh, I can preach here for a while. But I'm not going to. Image means an exact representation and revelation. Hebrews 1 and 3 said, "Who, being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power." When He had by by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. I will tell you again, amen, I'm one God through and through and through and through and through and through. There can't be three persons, no way, no how. God did it. God did it in the representation and the revelation of the body of Jesus Christ. John 14 and 9 said, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest then, show us the Father? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Oh, hallelujah. For John 10 and 30 said, I and my Father are one. We're one. We're one. You can't separate us. We're one. We're one. It's just a relationship. It's just a representation. It's just a revelation. It's just a manifestation. That's all it is. But we're one. One. It's all in him. It's all in him. It's all in him. Some of you can't see Brother Gerwin back there. He jumped up, ran around, and grabbed Brother Josh Frank's hand and pumping his arm. You know why? Because he got the revelation of who God is. I'm concerned about some of us that what God has not known, what God has gotten to be something we just know, and we're not near as excited about the revelation, about the knowledge, about the understanding of Almighty God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, the firstborn. Firstborn does not refer to time. It refers to status.
Right.
I said it does not refer to time. It refers to status. First in rank. Jesus was not the first being created, but he is the first as he is the creator of everything.
Right.
He is first in rank. He's top. He's supreme. Woo! He is preeminent. He is all in all. Verse 16 said, for by him were all things created that were in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
And God's got it all set up.
Thank you.
And I know that some of us are worried about the election and all the stuff that's coming up and the possibilities of this and that, but let me tell you, God's got it all under control. Hey, somebody, we got to get out of here at some point. I said we got to get out of here at some point. We got to get out of here. So God is orchestrating,
putting
all the pieces together.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 17. By him all things consist. God says that he is literally the one who holds us all together by his power. He is our glue, if you will. And he's better than Gorilla. He's better than Loctite. He's better than super glue.
Because
those things have failed. I've proven it many times. God holds it all together. When I'm broken, he said, come here, let me put a little bit of my spirit on you, and we'll put you back together. And you don't have to be broken no more. Come on.
over here and get a little bit of my spirits of gloom. Where you've been broken, where your heart is hurting, where your emotions are in turmoil. Let me pray.